And so we've begun a series and a look at 1 John, the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And so last week, Pastor Mike gave him kind of an intro to this book, and so I'm just going to, you know, kick back off with it. And so I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 5, and I want to read through it first, and then we'll get jumping in. So let's pray first. Father, I give you thanks that we're here together. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord, that exposes our hearts. It encourages us. It gives us strength. Lord, it gives us wisdom and knowledge. And I just ask that we would be fully present in this moment to hear what your Spirit has to say to us tonight. We know it's not by accident, but it's by your design. So we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. All right. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness. And he walks, or he's in the darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I really, really have always loved the letter to 1 John. Letter of 1 John, because it's kind of like so practical and it's kind of straightforward, and it's, you know, he doesn't really pull any punches when he's talking. I mean, I don't just go around calling people liars all the time. You know, maybe you do. I don't just don't walk around, you're a liar if you don't do this. And so he's pretty intense. And so there's a reason for it, though, and I think that we understand what he's saying, but there's also a need to understand why he says what he says. And there's a group of people that, as soon as the church really took off in the early, in the first century and stuff, there began to be things that would break off. Heretics would take what was truth, turn it around, kind of twist it, and then make a whole other thing. And so a lot of people think here is there's a group that has spawned off from the actual body of Christ. And so there's heresy going on, because they've taken truths from Jesus and they've changed them. They deny his being an actual body. They deny his atonement. There's a lot of things that John touches on. And so what this is all coming down to is it real or is it not? The life we live in Christ, the life that we profess to live, is it authentic or is it not? Because what he's having to deal with is these people, they didn't just split off from the community and leave. They split off and set up camp next door, and now they're throwing the body into confusion. And so John is writing as pastoral. He is encouraging. He's trying to corralling them, little children, as he uses that language, to let them know not to be worried, not to be confused, to stay, stay steady on what they've already heard that John has been saying. And what he has learned from Jesus, which we saw in the first few verses, is the one he has seen, who he's touched, seen with his eyes. And so that's kind of where this context is coming from. And we always pick this up in what we'll look here in the text. But I want us to notice in the little sections that we just read, how do we know, all right, how do we know that we are living authentically? Because authenticity is a pretty big catchword, right? I mean, it's something that we all strive to be, hopefully. Some people may not, I don't know. We don't like it when it's not in other people. We want people to be real with us, right? We say we want people to be real, but then when they're actually real to us, we get mad at them sometimes. So that's just a whole other pride issue. So anyway, authenticity is valued in our culture. It's really valued in the church. And so an authentic life in Christ is tested by two things. There's two things that have kind of surfaced in these little texts that we read. It's our response and our attitude towards sin, and it's our response and attitude towards obedience. These are the two things that John has kind of pulled out that this group is, they've kind of twisted and they've messed up. And so if we look at the text, let's just jump right in. The first thing is our attitude towards sin. All right, I just shut my Bible. If we say that we have fellowship, now there's three things that you notice. There's three little "if we say." And when you see that "if we say" part, it's kind of like, this is what this group has been saying. All right? If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him, not just that we profess, we know we have fellowship. That's that word koinonia there. It's a deep kind of fellowship. If we say we have that and we walk in darkness, we're lying. And this group is doing this. And so our attitude in response to sin, the first thing is you see a sense of hidden sin here. This is kind of like hypocrisy, right? If I say one thing and do another, I am a hypocrite, right? And we all love hypocrites, right? That's what we all aspire to be. When I grow up, I want to be a hypocrite. So, no, it's the complete opposite of everything we want to be. It's the opposite of authenticity. And so when John is saying, if we say we have fellowship, koinonia with God, yet we walk in darkness, which in this is sin, when we live in sin, we are lying and the truth is not in us. We're hypocrites. It's kind of heavy and it's kind of big, but it's truth. He calls that person a liar, fake. The next thing that we'll notice is verse 7. Or excuse me, I'm going to skip. Here's the deal. There's going to be three things that he lists that's going to argue against these people. And then he's going to kind of give a correction. And so I just want to do the three things. The next one, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is said kind of like, if I say I have no sin, now that I've given my life to Christ, I've put my faith in him, I say I'm sinless now. I have no sin. I'm perfect. I am perfect. I mean, we all want to be perfect, but perfection has not come, as Apostle Paul has said in the Corinthians. And this group is going around saying that they don't have sin. There's no sin. I'm good. I'm perfect. I got Jesus, I got the anointing, perfect. And so, it's a lack of sin. And you know what John calls it? He says, that person is deceived. If I think I'm perfect, I am terribly, terribly self-deceived. Because we understand that we are all constantly fighting our flesh. And like I just said, as the Apostle Paul says, until the perfect comes, until Christ returns and makes all things new, I will always deal with that. I will always be tempted. We all will be tempted. Sometimes we mess up and give into it, and he addresses that in the next verse. But for John, if I want to be an authentic follower of Christ, My attitude towards sin has to be dealt with. And if I say that, you know what, I'm kind of living one way and doing another, then I'm a hypocrite. If I say that I'm good and I don't have any sin anymore, I'm self-deceived. And then he picks up the next one. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. This almost sounds exactly like the last one. Except the Greek kind of changes it up because one is kind of present tense and one is continuing while the other one is not. And then it says that we make God a liar. So this is like saying, you know what? I haven't sinned. I'm in no need of redemption. Because when we say that I made God a liar, what does God say? That we're all sinners, right? We're all sinners. Everyone. No one's excluded. We're all in need of salvation. We all need it through grace. But this group is walking around saying, ah, no sin. I'm good. Jesus says that we're all sinners. Well, not me. And Paul's like, well, you know what? Not only are you a liar, you just made God a liar. That's bad. Last time I checked, that's pretty bad. This is pride. I don't need to be fixed. I don't need to be saved. I don't need any of this because there's nothing wrong with me. And so for John, this is dangerous territory. This is dangerous rhetoric that is being spewed upon the people of the body of Christ. Hidden sin. Perfectionism that is fake. And then to say that, you know what, I got pride. I don't need salvation. I don't need to be saved. I don't have sin. There's no redemption needed here. No atonement needed. And John doesn't buy it. And so John offers his alternatives in each one of these. And he uses light as example for the first one, for hidden sin. And when we start talking about hidden sin, everybody starts getting nervous and starts... We bring up Achan and Joshua, man. Achan buried in the tent, and everybody got killed, his whole family. Everybody burned him and stoned him, and hidden sin's bad, and yes, it is bad. And so just relax. I'm not going to get up here and just start beating everybody up with hidden sin. We're all sinners, saved by grace, if we're all saved in here. For John to say that I am one thing, yet I do another thing, it's not right. It's inauthentic, and it's not a way a follower of Christ should be living. And so he uses light. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Practice the truth is living it out. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's interesting because he uses light here as an example. Light, what does light do? It always exposes, right? You cannot hide in daylight unless you go under something, which makes you in darkness, right? But in those, just right now, I can't hide off the stage unless I'm just some kind of magician, which I'm not, by the way. So, light exposes. It reveals. And here's the deal. If you're walking in the light of God, there's no need to hide because you don't want to hide. Now, walking in the light doesn't mean you're perfect and that you have no sin. Because when it's talking about cleansing here, it's an ongoing thing. That whenever there is a need to be repentance or something, that it's always there. There's transparency. That's the word here. There's transparency among you and me in the body of Christ when we're walking in the light. And there's always purification, cleansing, and washing away of sins when I'm walking in the light. But if I say that I am in fellowship with God, yet I walk in the darkness, hidden away, I'm lying. The alternative is I'm supposed to live a life of transparency. Living in the light of God, living in the light of Scriptures. That if we are all living transparently, we all recognize that we're all sinners, and no one's worse off, then I have fellowship with you. You have fellowship with me. And there's security and comfort in that transparency. It's being real. with one another. Walking in the light grants us fellowship and purification. Our lives as Christ followers are to be lived publicly, not hidden away in private. Fellowship and cleansing take place in the light. And the next thing that he deals with in the lack of sin, the self-deception, saying that I'm perfect, is this. We'll go down to verse 9. It's an infamous passage of Scripture. We love it. We quote it because it gives us hope. It's when you're down in the dumps because you have totally messed up, this is what I would quote all the time. And when I said something stupid, did something I wasn't supposed to do, this is, you know, in high school growing up when I was learning and walking in the ways, I would quote, this is the one. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's beautiful. Something we should all know and have memorized. But what you see here is the opposite of self-deception and all that is, I want to be honest. I want to be real. I want to be true. And it's confession. If we confess our sins. Now, if you ever go through the New Testament and look at all the instances of confession of sins, pretty much every single time, it's in a public situation. They went out to John the Baptist. They were confessing their sins. In Acts, when they're burning all their scrolls and stuff in Ephesus and they're admitting all their evils they're doing, it's a public thing. In James, when you go and confess your sins so that you will be healed, it'll pray for you. Confession is also connected to the fellowship we have with one another. Do you see the line here? It's not just, hey, yeah, I've messed up. I'm going to go in my room and confess to God. Well, that's part of it, but there's also a relationship and a fellowship here. Confession and honesty are a big deal to faith and Christ followers. Instead of saying we're perfect, we need to acknowledge that we have sin, that we mess up. We're honest. And honesty always leads, is what John says. When we're honest, it leads to confession. I'm not perfect yet, and I know that. I mess up, I know that I'm honest. And when I'm honest, there's forgiveness of sins and cleansing. That word forgiveness is the picture of a debt that you owe that is canceled. You do not have to pay it back. It's not kept on record. It is deleted. Gone. No more debt. Erased. And then, everything that debt does to me, everything that sin does to me is cleansed and washed and purified away. Guilt and shame, it's all kind of washed off. Don't you love it when we are forgiven and cleansed? Yes. No? I love being dirty, you know? I mean, no. And so for John, self-deception, saying I'm perfect when we're absolutely not, is not right. Instead, we're confessed because we're transparent and we're honest. And we are in need of salvation. We're in need of redemption and cleansing. And the last little part about sin is if we say we haven't sinned, if we say that, you know what, I don't need God. No, I don't have sin. I'm good. I didn't need Jesus to go to the cross for me. I don't need that. I can fix myself. If there's anything wrong... You know, I don't need that. And that's pride to the fullest. Instead, we need humility. We need to walk in humility. And so it kind of picks up here in chapter 2 where, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. So just acknowledging that we are sinners doesn't make it okay. It's not a freedom to abuse grace. But if we find ourselves in a situation where we do mess up, where we do sin, where I did cross the line, where I gave in to the temptations of my stupid flesh, and I mouthed off at somebody, or somebody cut me off and I gave them the almighty hand gesture or whatever, you know, and I crossed the line. If I do find myself in that spot, he says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. We have somebody standing there on our behalf, defending us. And who is it? It's Jesus Christ, the righteous. Not only is he the advocate, but he is also the propitiation. It's a fancy word, theological word. He is the atonement. He's the sacrifice. He's the reason that we are cleansed and made whole. And so to say that I don't have sin, I don't have any need of that, is to say, you know what, Jesus? You didn't need to go to the cross. And these people were actually denying Jesus' physical body. And so it's heresy upon heresy for this. And he's not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. If I mess up, if I sin, which Jesus went to the cross to set us free and reconcile us back to God. But if I walk around saying that I don't need that and that's not for me and I don't need to be fixed because I don't have sin, I'm telling God he's a liar. And I am full of pride. I cannot fix myself. And even as I am a follower of Christ, when there's times, I still cannot fix myself. Because every time I do, I make it worse. It's like trying to put broken glass together with a hammer and nails. It just doesn't work. And so we have to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to the cross. Because we have an advocate. We have Jesus standing there before the Father saying, I went to the cross for this person. And I can say this because I am the sacrifice. You see the picture John is painting here. And so if I want to live an authentic faith, if I want to live an authentic life in Christ, my attitude towards sin must be correct. I can't live a hidden life of sin. Because if I do, I'm a liar and a hypocrite. I want to be transparent. I want to have fellowship with you and you have fellowship with me and know that my sins are forgiven. I don't want to be self-deceived and say I'm perfect because I'm not. And I won't be until Christ returns and changes me. And I don't want to be living full of pride saying I don't need your redemption, Jesus. You can keep it. I want to submit myself, humble myself, and be broken before God knowing that I need the cross at all times. And so for John, this determines whether you're authentic or not. You're the real deal. And then the second part is our attitude towards obedience. He picks up in 3, and by this we know we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Now, I don't think he's talking about the Ten Commandments, so to speak. Because for John, the commands are, he kind of spells out his commands in chapter 3. Actually gives them a descriptive in chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. So when you see this word command in 1 John, this it's believing in Jesus and loving one another. Because we all know John is the apostle about love. The whole gospel of John, love, 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 love one another. 1 John, love one another. You can't be a Christian and not love somebody. You can't hate somebody and say you're a Christian. They don't go hand in hand. And so he starts off saying, a true relationship with God is grounded in obedience to his commandments. And his command is to believe in Jesus and love one another. If we can't do this and we can't be obedient to that, we're inauthentic. And we're not real. And he also, if we notice, it gets kind of, you ever get to that part where he says, I'm not writing you a new commandment, but an old commandment? And I'm not really writing you an old commandment, but a new commandment? And you're like, dude, make up your mind. Which one is it? And so what's going on here is you think back to the Gospel of John in chapter 13 where Jesus says, a new command I give you. Love one another. And so if John is saying this, it's basically like the new commandment is the title, New Commandment, which is not really a new commandment. It's an old commandment because Jesus gave it. It's not new in the sense that it's novel. It's just the title. Does that make sense? So like if we go around saying the new commandment, if somebody, quote me the new commandment, love one another. So John is just reminding them of the commandment that Jesus gave him and all his disciples to love one another, which ties back into what he says in chapter 3 later on. And so our attitude towards obedience determines a lot about our authenticity or lack of. It reveals our relationship with God. There's something I've just known. You just can't fake obedience. I mean, you either do it or you don't, right? I either cleaned my room when I was a kid or I didn't. And if I didn't, it was pretty obvious. I could say, yeah, I did it. Did you obey me? Yes. And then the proof is in the pudding, and the pudding is bad. And so you can't fake obedience to God. We just can't do it. We know that our relationship with Christ when we walk in the same way he did. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. He loves that word, liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Obedience perfects love in us. When I believe in Christ and I let him, his redemptive work take place in me and transform me, and I practice loving people, the love of God is being perfected. Complete is the word in me. When I am loving God and loving people, that means the love in me is complete. It's perfected. It's where I'm supposed to be. But whenever I step outside of that, it's not. And so whenever John is saying here, when you obey, obedience to the commandments, when we do that, the love of God is perfected in us. And then he picks back up one last time. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. When I am obedient to the commandments of God of loving him and loving others, it strengthens my relationships. Because you notice that when I'm walking in the light, I give no reason for stumbling with other people or myself. There's no stumbling. I don't cause people to stumble. But when I'm in the darkness, I can't see anything. I'm blind, and so I bumble around, causing issues all around me with my relationships with people. And I don't want to be known as somebody who caused other people to stumble. And so when I'm living in the light, because he goes right back in a full circle to where he started, I'm transparent, and I have fellowship with you, and you have fellowship with me. And when we're walking in the light together, there's nothing that would cause us to stumble. But when we step out of that circle, and we're now in the darkness, I'm blind, and I don't know where I'm going. And it's not good. We cannot say we love God and hate people. Can't do it. Because that makes us hypocrites. And it makes our faith inauthentic. Because the one command that keeps coming to the forefront here is love God, love people, love one another. Love one another. So if I want to live an authentic faith, my view of sin, my attitude towards sin must be right, and I must obey the commandments of God. I must submit my life to it. Because I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to be a fraud. I want to try my best to live as authentic before God and before each other as we can. And the thing is, when we're all doing this together, the fellowship we have with one another, it's beautiful. It's awesome. I don't know if you've ever experienced, there's nothing like being fully transparent with somebody and them back and forth. It's just like, this is the way it's supposed to be. Or I could tell you anything, and you could tell me anything. And I'm not worried about what you're going to say or think or do. Because we're in the light together. We're in this together. We're brother and sister. It's in Christ. So John's going to keep this up for quite a while. Are we living an authentic faith? I know a lot of us maybe have grown up in church. I have my whole life. But that doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean you're perfect, sorry. We have to be transparent. We have to live in the light. Can't be self-deceived. Can't be full of pride. We need Jesus every day. We need his cross every day. I need his redemptive power flowing through me every day. I cannot fix myself. I can't fix my bad attitude. I can't think myself out of sin. I need Jesus. We all do, right? And I want to obey what he's commanded us, to love him, to believe in Jesus, and to love people. And then later on, he's going to say, there's no greater love than someone. Jesus said that somebody would lay down their life. So we can sit here and talk about love for a good week, but I'm not going to do that to you. So, everybody with me tonight? No? Let's pray. Father, we are just, we're so humbled that you love us the way you do. Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes it seems like it shouldn't even be fair. God, but you love us so much. You love your creation, God. So much that when we mess and botch everything up in life, you still sent your Son to redeem us. And if we ever get to a point in our life where we take that for granted, oh, convict our hearts, Lord. We need your cross. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, that you are our advocate, standing there, defending, pulling for us. We thank you that you went to the cross for us. God, I just ask, Lord, as we respond to this, Lord, if there is sin in our lives, hidden in our hearts, if we are saying one thing and doing another, may the conviction of the Holy Spirit be upon us right now. And may we step into your light, step into the freedom of transparency before you and our fellow brothers and sisters, knowing that we have nothing to hide. God, if there is an attitude of perfection about us, or if there's a sense of pride that we don't need you, that we can fix ourselves, or change our hearts, Lord. God, and if there's a relationship that is currently in our lives that is would not be measured by love, but is measured by hate, Lord, I ask that you forgive us, and I pray that you would enable us to find a way to make restitution, God, and to make reconciliation with that person. Because we know that if we let hate stay in our heart, we will become bitter. And we will not look like the people of God that we're supposed to look like. So let's just take a moment and just search our hearts. Jesus, just speak to us, Lord. Show us. Show us what we must change, God, if it's to be more like you. We thank you. I pray that this word would not just stay here in this room, God, but we would carry it with us. And I pray that every day we would put before us, Lord, our love for you and our love for people. We thank you for this. I ask that your blessing be upon each person in here. May your favor rest with them. God, I pray that during this week, God, your spirit would draw them. Lord, that they would spend time with you in your word. And encourage those who are in need. Protect them all, Lord. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.